I've just actually had the extraordinary experience of seeing one of my fantasies fulfilled. Yes, it's Jane Southall wearing a bowler hat. Amazing. I mean, Alan, I know you've been waiting for years to see our chief executive wear a bowler hat, and she did it so well.
Absolutely, yes. Getting the image precisely what we would expect from the chief executive of the Lincolnshire Show.
Personally, I think that is the go-to image already set for 2019, Jane. So once again, you've just nailed it. Thinking ahead.
Okay, well, that's it. You know, might have a pink bowler hat next year. You never know.
Steady. Just hold back on that particular basis. We've also got the honorary show director with us again. Yesterday, I thought, sensational production. Great show. You must be very proud on a day like this.
We had a fantastic day yesterday. Everything seemed to fall into place. Everything went very well. The weather was with us, and everybody seemed to enjoy it. It came.
And Jane, I mean, we spoke about this before. All the events that we cover, Countryside Links, the Food and Gift Fair, you always manage to get this case, a bit like a swan, really. Effortless style, gracefully moving from event to various other things while possibly paddling furiously underneath. How's the show shaping up for yourself?
I think the show's fantastic. I mean, the theme this year is great, 100 years of the RAF, and remembering 100 years since the end of the First World War, which still links back to agriculture. But I think it was great, you know, to have the red, white and blue and have everyone engaged, and it gives it just a bit more of a buzz, doesn't it, really? So you have to watch this space for next year.
We always do, Jane, we always do. And Alan, again, reflecting on the whole sort of process, I'm always tempted to say, with respect to Jane, and I've said this for a few years, gone public with my colleagues at Siren Radio, that actually the Jane Southall team is probably the best ever, really, as far as the Lincolnshire Show, with yourself included, of course.
It's a brilliant team. It does the show, it does all of the other things here. You know, you mustn't forget that it is backed up here by 100-plus volunteer stewards who do a fantastic job at the show. We couldn't run the event, we obviously couldn't run it without the professional staff, but without that team, all of whom turn up here at ridiculous hours of the morning, stay till ridiculous hours of the evening, and keep the show rolling. That is a fantastic part of it.
Absolutely. And back to honorary show director for this point of view. Are you with us again next year? Is it a four-year? What's the tenure? What moves on from that?
See what he signed. He's more than 20, but he doesn't know yet.
I'm here next year, yes.
Excellent.
Looking forward to it already. Obviously, as soon as this one finishes, we are planning for next year. Well, some plans have already been started, but it's a never-ending process of trying to get better things, more things.
Well, our next official rural show location report is up with the Great Yorkshire Show. Yes, I've mentioned it again, I know. A few years ago, I must admit, I thought the Great Yorkshire had the edge, but I've got to say, Lincolnshire's probably beaten that from my view. Sorry, Nigel. Sorry to the team that are actually up there, Nigel pulling and the rest of the sort of chief executive thing, but actually you've got some magical stuff here, Jane, and well done.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the comment and your support.
Following on from an interview with the honorary show director and indeed Jane Southall, who better than to actually have our very own chief executive officer when it comes to all matters to do with technology and more within the University of Lincoln. She's co-director of Signet PR. She's here making her debut as far as social media is concerned. It is the one and only Samantha Perdue. How are you, Sam?
Hello. I feel that's such a huge build-up, Alex.
Well, it's been a long time. I think it's time. The Lincolnshire Show has been waiting for you, Sam, to come and do some reporting duty, so here we are.
I'm really excited, actually. It's been a few years since I've been here doing stuff with Siren FM. So just having a quick wander in, it looked really lovely. Lots of nice food stuff.
Well, yesterday, of course, was very impressive, and I've already relayed that to the show director. Christine, of course, last year when she was a young child, but astonishingly, the Lincoln Red Cattle look even bigger now than they did then.
I was correct as well. He clarified that they've got bigger.
Exactly. That's the whole thing. Yes, the cattle have increased in size. Heaps of stuff here. Obviously, wearing your connection with the RAF hat, it's the RAF centenary. We expect lots of social media news with respect to our colleagues in the RAF.
Absolutely. Do you know what was really lovely was to see that they've got a lovely red arrow that kids can climb in, and I saw loads of stuff yesterday. They've got parts of what looks like a Lancaster that people can go and climb in. So I think definitely I will be going and having a look and supporting that, because I think that's really important. 100 years of serving our country, and we all know that I'm so passionate about the RAF, so I will go and have a look.
Well, as I sort of pointed out, really, in putting things into perspective, don't bother complaining about a lack of a bacon sandwich if you bear in mind 100 years ago people were being killed in the Somme. So it's all to do with perspective. That's the important thing. Christian Arkabowicz made his debut on location with us yesterday. Christian, you're now going to be interested with the role of head boy when you actually sort of deal with both Samantha and Christine here. So any advice that you'd like to give them on their debut as far as social media is concerned?
What is it in terms of the Lincolnshire show?
Anything, so. Really. You can give life advice the whole way. I mean, you're a level 2 journalism student, so clearly both level 2 public relations and so on. I'm sure it'd be all... Whatever you saw.
Watch where you step if we're going to see the animals.
Very good. That ultimately is hashtag, really. It's a quote of the day. We'll see you guys later with all sorts of other bits and pieces. A reminder, of course, that the hashtags for the Lincolnshire show and various other things to look out for are what, Christine?
Link show 18.
Exactly. And you can obviously watch them at your leisure and see all sorts of other bits and pieces there. And I think that leaves Shaley and Ryan and myself to actually do the other routine. Good luck. Go out there. Celebrate the joys of Signet PR, Siren Radio and more. And enjoy.
Thank you very much, Alex.
Simon Crowe, and I'm here on behalf of Lincolnshire Beekeepers.
Now, Simon, now I've just had a lovely taste of some of these honeys. Can you just tell us a little bit about, sort of, I suppose... how you make honey? How do you make honey?
Well, the bees make the honey for us, and we just manage the hives to get them in a strong, healthy position in numbers of bees inside the hive, so that they're ready to go and gather a honey crop when the flowering plants arrive in the, whether it's in the countryside or agriculture. So we stimulate the bees to go and collect the honey.
And is it quite, I suppose, demanding for you as a beekeeper to look after the bees?
It is quite demanding, and it's often misunderstood by the general public. They just come and see this massive diversity of honey that we've got, 27 different tasters here. And what is often forgotten is the amount of work that takes place behind the scenes, and they just see the jars of honey, and it takes hours and hours and hours. I'm a commercial beekeeper now, so it's my full-time job, but there's lots of work behind the scenes to get the bees in the position to collect the honey and then to harvest and prepare it ready for sale like this.
I have to ask, why a beekeeper? Why did you become a beekeeper? What was it about the bee that made you think, I'm going to protect and kind of help encourage them?
Well, I'm fascinated by bees and wildlife. My main interest was photography, and my wife commented one day that I was spending far too much money on honey and it might be cheaper for me to have my own bees. And here I am 13 years later, and that's my full-time occupation, bees and beekeeper. They're fascinating insects, animals, organisms. They're just, we learn so much from them.
And just sort of finally, just to ask as well, it's really important that lots of people, I suppose, don't touch bees if they see them. And there's a big thing at the moment to preserve and protect bees, isn't there?
Yes, everyone can help as well. Most people have got some possibility of getting involved in not just our honeybees, but there are 270 species of bee in this country, along with all the other fantastic pollinators, butterflies, you name it, and everyone can get involved by planting or looking after some sort of wildlife or domestic garden, and plant a wide range of flowering plants, and you can enjoy the bees in almost guaranteed safety in your garden.
We concluded yesterday's coverage of Lincolnshire Show Day 1 on the other side of the main ring in the President's Lawn. Shirley, myself, and I have taken up a residence with, I suppose, the proles, but no, the general public, who actually have an excellent view, it has to be said, of the main ring, where we're currently watching the Lincolnshire Show Accumulator, a kind of junior show jumping exercise. And we've already seen somebody who's had a catastrophe with respect to 16 penalty points for an angle, but what are your thoughts, Shaley?
Oh my God, it's just incredible. These horses are so powerful, and it's just so interesting to see how they are manipulated almost into jumping over these rather high bridges kind of thing, and the penalty points for either knocking them off or the horse refusing to jump is like quite large actually.
It's 4 penalty points obviously for any pole that sort of drops there, and of course there's also the timetabling thing as well. Unfortunately I don't think in terms of the show jumping side of things here are all like the eventing we cover at places like Bram and Burley and so on. They don't actually have to follow this through with dressage and indeed cross country, so they're just focusing on this. But yeah, I share your views with respect to the control that they actually have to have of the horses, and obviously the kind of frustration sometimes if they almost but not quite clear the fence.
Definitely. It must be really difficult, especially if you've been obviously training for so long for this and you've been getting it spot on every time you've been training, and then when you actually come to the actual event the horse just doesn't want to play ball really.
A reminder, you're listening to Siren Radio and Southside Broadcasting on location with the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, a day two of the 2018 Lincolnshire Show. And if you listen to this live on Siren Radio on the 28th of June, then just enjoy and savour in the memories that we're actually bringing you of what is certainly an awesome event. And I think, as we said earlier, we're speaking to Chief Executive Officer Jane Southall. Not only needs to be supported, but actually, if you've never been to a Lincolnshire show, it's well worth the experience.
I would completely agree with that. I mean, we've got our very own midweek driver, Christian, who's never sort of seen any sort of animals, and he was just in utter awe of a cow, which, if you live in Lincolnshire, is quite a basic thing to see, you know, sheep, cows, horses, and it's really nice and refreshing to meet somebody who's never seen that and is sort of the sublime, as we'd like to say. But
I felt the same thing when I saw my first potato in Lincolnshire. It's a very emotional moment, really. There we are. Oh, dear, again. We're having hopefully, we're not putting them off, actually. We're not talking too loudly, so I think I'd hate to sort of feel that we were responsible for horses, so with very sensitive hearing, saying, I would have cleared that fence if it hadn't been for those darn commentators from Siren Radio.
Definitely. And I thought it was the sublime when you saw the Lincolnshire sausage.
Do you know, it's a close second, I must admit. I mean, and of course, if you're the ultimate, the sausage and the potato, well, what
double
can you say?
Double whammy.
Probably have to have a lie down, actually, with the excitement. Still to come today, we'll be speaking, hopefully, once again to Ed Wellman. Ed is actually playing the piano, which Ryan Jones is helping move for him, which I'm sure is going to be great comedy gold in the classic Laurel and Hardy sense. In case you're wondering what has happened to Christian Arkabowitz, Christian is currently covering some of the social media with the joys of Sam Perdue and Christine Green, so they'll be having a look around at various other bits and pieces once we have a general leisurely show on this second day of the 2018 134th Lincolnshire Show. Doing the Lincolnshire Show without the University of Lincoln is never going to happen. And likewise, it's great to have the first ever midweek driver, because that's your official title now, Julie Corden, with us. How are you, Julie?
I'm really well, thank you.
Good, great to see you as ever. And initially, we were thinking we were going to do a piece on the midweek drive with the awesome Natalie to actually preview the Lincolnshire Show. She couldn't make it. We kind of thought she might make the morning, the following morning, 8 o'clock. We waited, didn't make it there. But she's here now. How are you, Natalie?
I'm very well, thank you.
How many Lincolnshire shows have you got under your belt?
This is my third.
Third. So as you kind of look back over the last 3 years, do they get better? Are you sort of thinking, oh, you know, what a chore. What's it like to be out of the office here in a field in Lincolnshire?
It definitely gets better year on year. I think it's fantastic. The atmosphere is brilliant and there's loads to see and do.
Excellent. Shaylee has... is your second show? Second show?
Second, yeah.
Second, right. We've just been watching the show jumping, and well done to Claire, I believe, who actually was the winner there from that perspective. But we are here in the University of Lincoln tent, and I look around and see great minds, great partnerships, great prospects, great teaching, great research, great... I think great is the buzzword, is that right?
Yes, you've got it in one.
I can spot these communication things that come across. It's marvellous. Shaylee, you graduated last year from the School of English and Journalism with your degree in English. You're now proudly working with the YMCA. We featured them earlier. Thoughts when you come back to the University of Lincoln, you think, yeah, because actually you transferred from Bishop Grosseteste. Yeah, I mentioned it in the same breath. I can't believe it. To the University of Lincoln and worked through there.
I did indeed. Found out that teaching was not for me. Transferred to Lincoln, and it was the best decision I ever made. Obviously, I think Lincoln, you guys got the gold
Yeah, TEF gold.
It does go to prove that that's what they're worth, really.
Natalie, best decision she ever made. Write it down, put it in the prospectus.
I've got it on quotations.
Exactly. And I'm very impressed, actually, Julie. Gold award, gold outfit away today. I see what you're doing here. Natalie as well got a gold blouse from that perspective. It was a theme. You said, let's go gold, guys.
It's all organised, all on purpose.
Yes, for a moment I thought, no, there's something missing, but I see that the Lincolnshire puppy is there again.
It is, yep. It's something for our primary school children as they come on. So
primary school teacher, I'm sure that actually English graduates will find out so much more from the extremely wonderful Ellie sample and, of course, the Lincolnshire puppy, which is there. Although you don't seem to have a dystopian text, a science fiction text there. Why is that not appearing, Julie?
I wouldn't know, Alex.
No. It'll happen, but I love that appreciation. Shaylee, any questions for either Natalie or Julie?
Yeah, what's your best part of the Lincolnshire show?
Our stand.
Oh, on topic, and score one for corporate mentions as well.
How about you, Natalie?
I was going to say the food court, but yeah, of course, the University of Lincoln stand.
I agree, the food court is really
It's amazing.
Anyways, Natalie, you've got to realise that Julie here is the Obi-Wan Kenobi when it comes to marketing. It's the time when she spent as a holiday rep in Spain, I think, that really sort of opens through that, subtly put together.
Yeah.
And do you get a chance to look around? Because, I mean, obviously, back in the day, Julie, we used to do these audio promenades and location reports, and see the way we actually make that, and already the dramatic music. It comes through, so it's going to be Corden and Left Duke back in the field again. Very good. Will you be returning to that?
Yes, absolutely. We don't get a chance to walk around quite so much when we're working on the stand, but yes, we definitely need to get ourselves out and chatting to fellow exhibitors and colleagues. So
let's do some more corporate stuff here, because obviously, again, that dramatic music in the background coming through there. We've got a couple of open days coming up. Natalie, would you like to promote some of those open days and why, if you're even thinking about coming along to see the joys of the open day? Oh, sorry, I thought the aircraft was taking off behind me. What the hey? Why not take off your life with the University of Lincoln? Soar into the future. Let's talk about the open days. When are they? Where should people come to? And so on.
So our first open day is the 13th of July, followed by the 14th of July. So they're down at the Brayford campus at the University of Lincoln. So all of our facilities will be open for everyone to come and have a look around. We do facility tours. You can have a look at our beautiful campus, talk to our student ambassadors, and it's just a great day.
And of course, we must remember that wherever you come from, you're at home with the University of Lincoln.
Yes, you are. You are.
Sensational. Shaylee, any final thoughts?
I'm just in awe of that because it is so true.
I'm just filling up here, really, from that point of view. I remember it when it was the University of Humberside. And that's another two.
Dropping down my face.
I could sense that with a birthday honours for the Vice-Chancellor. It's just awesome, really. It's really wonderful. Finally, looking around at the whole sort of system that we've actually got here, do you have a favourite part of this stand? Or is it a case of that would be like asking me to choose my favourite puppy?
Yes, they're all brilliant. They've all got something for everybody. We've got our Lincoln International Business School here, looking at logos and the impact they have on branding. We've got research here looking in particular at monkey faces and how we misinterpret what the expressions on their face. We've got psychology, nursing, film and media.
So you mentioned monkey faces. I was going to break into I'm a Believer, Daydream Believer, Last Train to Clarksville, all manner of routines there. And of course we're talking about primates.
We are indeed, yes.
Always very important, really. It's been fantastic. The website, of course, is relatively straightforward to remember, lincoln.ac.uk.
Yes, lincoln.ac.uk.
And we've made our way inside after the awesomeness of Julie Corden and her team at the University of Lincoln. We're at the Lincolnshire YFC, which has the strapline, the future of our countryside, and we're delighted now to speak to
Kate Knight.
Kate, would you like to just share with us the importance of linksyfc.org.uk?
Certainly. So Lincolnshire Young Farmers Clubs, it's a rural club for ages 10 to 26, and they meet weekly and take part in activities, rural activities. It's a bit like a rural youth club, really.
Now, I think one of the statistics that I was quite astounded at, I think about a year or so ago, was that the average age of farmers in Britain is something like 57. And there was a concern about, well, how are the next generation of farmers going to embed? How are they going to develop? Is the young farmer an endangered species?
Well, young farmers... In Lincolnshire is certainly not an endangered species. We've got a really vibrant membership. We've got 600 young farmer members in Lincolnshire and growing. And young farmers clubs are a great way for young people to network and meet people in the industry and undertake training activities. The young farmers motto is fun, learning and achievement, so we put on lots of training courses and a great varied competitions programme where, so for example today at the Lincolnshire Show, we've got stock judging competitions, decorated trailer and the ever famous tug of war this afternoon. But no, you know, I think young people are, there are certainly in Lincolnshire there are plenty of opportunities for them to go into farming as their career.
Is of course a prime aspect of the county. I mean, take out tourism and farming, and I think the whole thing is in a challenging area.
Yeah, I mean, I think the challenges for young people are to gain necessary skills. So some of our young people are staying in Lincolnshire and upskilling. Some are going away to university and then coming back. They pretty much always come back to Lincolnshire because they love it. And they're, you know, upskilling so that they can work in agriculture, not just on farms, but also, you know, agronomists, land agents, dealerships, engineers, etc. So, yeah, great.
Shaley.
When and how did the YFC start?
Oh, you're going to ask me a question that I don't know. YFC has been going for a long time. I'm looking at my colleague who's worked... We think we're 40...
Consulting here, which is all good, you know, with the cluster revelation.
Consulting with the colleague, we think links... We started in 1944, Lincolnshire Young Farmers. Okay, I'm consulting with a colleague because I'm fairly new to young farmers and didn't know that. But yeah, so we've had vibrant clubs, you know, and we've got 16 clubs across the county with a commitment to open some more clubs this summer. So could be coming to a
very much a win-win situation. So I think a name check for your colleague who said, Kate, she's wearing the orangey coloured dress. She'd be a good person to speak to. And her name, and mention your team here. Would you like to give some name checks, please?
Yeah, so Helen Jones is the county administrator. So she's definitely my right-hand man. She keeps me in line with all things like that.
1944.
Yeah, she knows her history. I'm Kate Knight, so I'm the strategic development manager for Lincolnshire Young Farmers. I've been working with them for a year. And then our sort of ahead of our team, we've got a county president, Malcolm Hobson, and our county chairman, who is a member, Matthew Denby. He's just coming to the end of his term because it's our AGM next week and we're sort of quieting down a little bit for the summer. So we'll be voting in a whole new county team for the forthcoming year.
Right, of course, it's the usual 3Ws, linksyfc.org.uk, if you want to find out more about the Links Young Farmers Association. Got to ask this question. Kate, will you be at the Great Yorkshire Show?
Well, we've got... There are young farmers competitions at the Yorkshire Show, and I'm hoping to be, yes.
Excellent. We might catch up with you then.
Lovely. Great. Thank you very much.
And we've actually moved to the horticultural area now, and with the wonderful dulcet tones of What Would I Do Without My Music, as the sheep music blows off the stage. Ryan, well rescued. Wonderful example of synchronicity in nature there.
Thank you, Alex.
Shaley, we're listening to a fabulous choir here. We've got Ed Wellman, as you can see there, on keyboard duties, and that is the piano that Ryan was helping shift. Your thoughts on what we're listening to?
It's very classical and very nice. I like it.
I feel a bit like somebody talking over the national anthem at the World Cup, so I'll just be quiet for a few moments and let the listeners savour these few magical moments of... Who are we actually listening to once again?
It's the Lincoln Orpheus Choir. It's male Orpheus Choir. What would I do without my music? What would I do without my song? What would I do without my music? To make things right when everything seems wrong. To give me hope. So
And as ever, if you have an answer to what would I do without my music, answers on a postcard to Siren Radio, care of the University of Lincoln, or indeed you can actually email us to sirenonline.co.uk. It's the Lincoln Orpheus Male Voice Choir now. Very warm sense coming through, a few crackles on the speakers, but at the same time, Ed's looking in particularly good form, I feel, Ryan. He's very focused, to a good posture there, obviously set and ready to go.
As ever, he's in charge and he is making it work, which is what is good.
Titanic, where I feel in many ways we should actually be seeing a kind of ship sinking into the Brayford Pool, effectively, as these brave Lincoln Orpheus Male Voice Choir singers continue to deal with the blustery conditions, almost gale force winds, but relentlessly plough on and on.
I think, as ever with these kind of events, the weather will always be against whatever people try and do, but I think they're, you know, they're holding it together, they're sharing the music with each other and they're having a good time, and the audience seems to be enjoying it as well.
The motto, whatever the weather, our Orpheus Choir will deliver.
Trademark.
Well, we're back with Ryan. Ryan, I see you've obviously got the round end of the stick here in terms of you've got the bulk of the equipment to actually work. How heavy is this Casio keyboard?
It's really quite light, actually. It's, you know, it's not like a Steinway, but, you know, portable.
Yeah, which is good. Well, I mean, he's here now. Whether he actually has a word, no, he's rushing off, you see. This is Ic Shaley. I thought that once he's had the joy of actually playing keyboards, that Ed, the musician, Wellman, is clearly just he's too big to talk to the likes of us these days. Do you think he's going to come to us, Ryan? I don't know.
If you will go to the mountain, you'll have to take the...
he's off there. He's off. He's a completely different world. Well, there we have it, dear listener. We have tried to bring you the voice of Ed Wellman on the actual piece. But clearly we've failed. Never mind. You've been listening to Siren Radio. It's a Midweek Drive Morning Edition. And it's been an awesome little performance that we've just heard there from a couple of tracks from the Orpheus Lincoln Male Voice Choir. Personally, I think they could do well in the underworld.
I think they want to get at 4:30.
Orpheus and the Underworld was the reference, in case people
are
wondering.
I'm sorry, Alex. It went over my head.
That's the time of me. Now Ed's clearly he's locked into it. I'm still tempted to actually say, what do you think, Shirley? I mean, I'm now doubtful. I think he'll probably have minders who'll be saying, no, I'm sorry, I've got a rider on this contract.
Yeah, he's definitely not coming over here, is he?
he's not. You know, that's okay. Anyway, we will continue. You're at the Lincoln Show with us a week after the whole thing has taken part, of course, because this is a reprise of day two and some of the fun activities that we're doing. I'm undeterred. I'm going to actually try and buttonhole him now and say, Minister, Ed, well done. How did the whole thing go?
Well, if we ever need to perform a concert on sort of sitting on the wings of an airliner, I think we're well rehearsed now with the Lincolnshire winds. It's quite remarkable. But actually, the guys from the Orpheus Male Voice Choir, we rehearsed on Tuesday night, pretty hard rehearsal, because singing outside is a whole different thing, and it really tests those vocal muscles and your ears as well. So I think they did really well, yeah.
As I said when I was commenting to Ryan, and obviously cutting right across the whole thing, definitely got a feel of Dance Band on the Titanic, really. Sort of the passion with which, obviously, you all engage with the whole process. And the other thing was, presumably you're one of the junior members of the Orpheus Choir.
Well, I'm not really a member of the choir, although you're right, you did catch me singing. I am one of their accompanists. and their kind of stand-in director as well. So Alan, who's the director this morning, just literally got off a plane late last night at Heathrow after his holiday, so I've been looking after things for a couple of weeks. But you're absolutely right, there was a real spirit of wanting to sing out there.
Shaylee, you've obviously joined the roadie crew here. Questions for Ed?
Yes, did you enjoy playing the piano?
Actually, I did. So one of the nice things about the bandstand, even though it's a little bit exposed out here, is that we've got speakers so we can hear ourselves singing. So that's really nice, because often we're singing to a dead acoustic and we don't hear what it sounds like. But today we really heard what it sounded like.
If folk are actually listening to this and they want to actually join the Lincoln Orpheus Male Voice Choir, apart from being male, what are the kind of criteria that you're looking for?
Well, pulse would be good. Pretty essential, really.
Presumably you're talking to the root vegetable pulse here.
A pulse and a sense of pulse, I might add. But no, you just want to... it's amazing. A lot of the gents are fairly senior in years. And we turn up on a Tuesday night to the Minster School in Lincoln, and we're tired when we start. And by the time we finish at 9 o'clock, we're sort of invigorated again through the oxygen that the brain absorbs in singing and all sorts of things. But there is a fabulous website... available via Google, which is the Lincoln Orpheus Male Voice Choir.
And if I may, a wee controversial question, possibly asked on Shaylee's behalf. Should Shaylee wish to join the Orpheus Male Voice Choir, what would be the response?
Now, that's an interesting one. I think by... In 2018, who knows what the answer to that is.
Yeah.
But I think the answer would be, sadly, not at the moment.
Shaylee, sorry, it's going to be transgendered or nothing.
I feel like that was a very controversial question to
you
ask.
Think so?
Yeah, I'm missing a specific body part to be able to be part of the male voice choir.
We do have some very, very good friends and colleagues who sing in the Lindum Ladies Choir. So it might be that we suggested that you would have a look at that.
Have you ever thought about a collaboration between the Lindum Ladies and you?
Yeah, we've done that. And there are many other choirs, of course, that both men and women can belong to. So, but this is a sort of particular tradition that mostly stems from Wales, the art of male voice singing.
And indeed, minors, which is why Underworld and Orpheus is the reference I was referring to, Orpheus and the Underworld.
Now, the Lincoln Orpheus Male Voice Choir, not to be confused with the Lincoln Male Voice Choir, who are entirely different outfit altogether. Which I gather that there was a sort of rift 50 years ago, and the separate choir set itself up.
Another spot of controversy there. Ed, you've handled those questions extremely well. We'll help you get the actual devices. I mean, Ryan's doing very well with his piano shifting there, and Shaylee is clearly actually holding on to the stand for dear life.